Good morning, boys and girls. Good morning, parents.
Good morning.
Happy Sabbath. Let us bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our kind and heavenly Father, be with our minds today. Open our minds and fill us with your Spirit, Father, to get everything that you have planned for us today. In Jesus' name I do pray and believe. Amen. So I don't normally get to do this a lot, but it's something that I really, really, really love, is telling children stories. Today, I'm going to tell you about a friend of mine. Her name is Bekezela Kaswe. She lives in London. And this is a part two. Also, the parents and all the grown-ups back there can listen, because it's a beautiful, beautiful story. The title of the story is $49.99. Okay? $49.99. Okay? Anyway, there was this mother who had a young boy, I think around age 2 and 3, right there, between age 2 and 3. The mom used to like to go to back from work. She used to buy her son a toy. So she would go buy a toy car and then bring it back to the house. But then guess what? This young boy used to get up, look at the toy, and throw it down. Every single time, he did not fail. Every single time, mom would come back from work with a brand new toy. The moment she would come back from work without a toy, that would be bad, right? So every time she would go buy a toy car, and then guess what? The boy would stand up, throw the toy down, and then guess what would happen? The toy would break. He kept doing this. But then again, just like any person with a brain. I think this one person optimized their brain, the mom. But what this mom did was, how can I do better by not having to spend money all the time in buying new toys because I'm going broke every time that I have to buy a toy. She was at a store and then she seen this big Tonka truck. It's called a Tonka truck. So what this toy car made out of Tonka, made from a company called Tonka, is made out of all metal. So guess what happened? She saw the price tag and then she saw, oh my goodness, the price tag was $49.99. She thought to herself, should I buy this? And then all the time, what if it breaks? That's a lot of money that I would be spending on a toy car. Anyway, something impressed her that she got that toy. She got that toy, took it home, and then guess what the boy did? He picked up the toy, took it out of the wrapper, and then guess what? Up, down. It did not break, yes. Amazing. The mom could not believe it. You think the mom could not believe it? The boy could not believe it. $49.99. So what did the toy do? The toy fell down just like this amazing truck it was. Vroom, vroom, vroom. It went away. He chased after it, got it, and then grabbed it. And then guess what again? He lifted it up, smashed it all the way down. Guess what happened? Vroom, vroom, vroom. The toy car went again. Nobody could believe it. Guess what? He chased it again, grabbed the toy, got up. This time, what do you think happened? He raised it up, threw it down. Vroom, 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 and then he went away. This was amazing. He did this for almost every day up until he broke that habit. And then he could not anymore lift any toy up because he just knew this toy made out of metal was not going to break no matter what. It's made out of the good stuff, right? So this reminds me of a scripture in the Bible that I'm going to have Brian read. It comes from the book of Proverbs. Go ahead.
Proverbs 24, verse 16. For a righteous man may fall seven times and rise again, but the wicked shall fall by calamity.
So what that means is, if we are made by the good stuff, all metal, Jesus, that's the only person who can get us all up every time we fall. Grown-ups and parents, this is a concept that a lot of people do not understand as a Christian. We fall back and then the enemy, automatic, he makes us think that we are not good enough. If we can teach our children and impress upon them to get up because we have a wonderful, wonderful Savior, that every time we fall back down, we need to do what? Vroom, vroom, get up and keep going, okay? Alright, that is all I had for today. So let us bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our kind and loving Father who art in heaven, we are so thankful that we have an advocate. We are so thankful that we have somebody that we can rely on, that no matter how many times that we fall, we can get back up. Continue to impress upon these children, continue to impress upon the grown-ups as well, to just keep a concept in their minds that no matter what they do, all they have to do is come boldly to you, Father, and you will forgive us our sins, and then we can move forward. In Jesus' name I do pray and believe. Amen.
As the children walk back, it's a time of morning prayer. And I was thinking about saying something before the prayer time. And I was looking, you know, last couple weeks and months now, I've been going through an autobiography of a very famous person with prayer, George Mueller. Any of you heard of George Mueller? A life of prayer. And then I thought about a movie that came out not too long ago, maybe a decade ago now, called God Is Not Dead. You know, there, a lot of people like to say that God is dead. But as Christians, God is not dead, right? But why do we pray like He is sometimes? God is the same as He was and is in the Bible that we read. So when we come here every Sabbath morning for prayer, we are coming before not a God that is dead, but a living God that hears our prayers. So it's not just a simple part of the service. So if you filled out blue cards, or if you haven't filled out blue cards, or you just want to come forward to experience the power of prayer up front, then this is the time. If you have something that you want to bring to God, then this is the time up front. And if you don't have a blue card filled out, and you do want to fill one out, then you could also fill it out and then put it in as the ushers come forward for the tithe and offerings. So at this time, we will enter into that morning of prayer. Heavenly Father, first and foremost, we acknowledge You as our Creator and Savior. Lord, that You are powerful and mighty. Lord, just by Your breath the stars are made. Lord, and we have burdens upon our hearts. But first, we ask for forgiveness of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, so that there is not a spot, a wrinkle between us and You, so that every word and every prayer that is uttered and spoken within our hearts is heard from You. Lord, we lift up these burdens. For Lord, these burdens are heavy upon us, but You have a yoke that is light. And we freely now trade our yoke for Yours, so that we may go out and learn from You. Lord, may this church learn from You. May the world church learn from You. Lord, there are many times we have faltered, but Lord, You, as the story, children's story mentioned, you get us moving again. And Lord, help us to stay in the path and not be broken. Help the church not to be broken, and the world church not to be broken. Lord, as Your soon coming is approaching, may not a single person here be left behind. May every heart here be bent towards You, towards Your word. And Lord, may we all live not as if the Bible is the past, but that the Bible can happen in the present. Lord, we also lift up Dr. Bryant, Elder Bryant, as he is about to preach the word to us. that he is going to give the message that you have given to him about the Holy Spirit. And we pray for that Holy Spirit, not only upon his lips, but upon our ears and our heart, that we will have the freedom to hear the message that you have for us. And that, Lord, distractions will not kill the plant that is rooting within us. Lord, thank you and bless us. In your name, Jesus, amen.
Happy Sabbath, Church. Today's offering will be going to North American Division Community Service. So I want to start asking a question. What will you find when you come through that door? There was a man by the name Jim Jones. He came to church one Sabbath morning. The first thing he noted, the organist missed a note. That made him so mad. Secondly, he noted a teenager talking during prayer time. Thirdly, while the offerings were being collected, he thought the deacon was curious to look how much money he had put in the basket. That made him boil. During sermon time, he had the preacher missing 5 grammatical errors. So while he was stepping outside the church, he said to himself, what a kind of church, with a lot of clods and a lot of hypocrites. Then a second man came to church by the name Ron Jones. When the organist was playing the introductory music, he played A Mighty Fortress. He was so excited about the song. Secondly, he saw a small girl talking about how much the faith has helped him in the church ministry. Thirdly, while the pastor was preaching, he preached a topic that answered a question that had bothered him for so many days. So while he was leaving the church, he said, how can a man come to this church and not appreciate what is happening in this church? So I have a question. When we come to this church, what do we pick out of this church? So ask ourselves when we come, because both of these two men, they came to church the same day. Each of them went outside the church with a different meaning. So we can come to church, pick whatever we want. So it's a question. You decide what you pick from this church. So today, let's give faithfully to the American Division Adventist Community Service. The deacons can come ahead and collect the offerings.
Our kindly, loving Father who is that in heaven, we come to you this time, Father, as sinful as we are, Father. God, we want to thank you for blessing our pockets, Father. We bring the offerings that's meant to go to the North American Division of Community Service, Father. Let it do thy work, Father. Above all things, Father, help us, Father, so we can pick the best as we leave this church today, Father. I've prayed this, shortly believing and trusting in thy holy name. Amen.
Happy Sabbath. Today the scripture reading is Luke 24:49. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high.
Am I on? Can you hear me? Is this on? All right. Is it loud enough? Okay. Am I hooked up to the right one here? Oh, yep. Okay. There we are. Okay. Before we begin our talk today, I do want to share a little bit more about Optimize Your Brain. Some of you may think this class is for somebody else. It's not. It's for every single one of us in this room, particularly for students. If you're in school, college, struggling to make the grades, this class can help you. Dr. Nelly talks about a student that was in college and was struggling. He wanted to go to med school. He was struggling. He went through this class and applied the principles in this class. His grades improved so much that he was able to be accepted into med school. That's the difference this class can make for students. It can help them, help their brains to be able to absorb information, retain it, and apply it. So is this still on? Okay. Okay, before we get into the study today, I'd like to just have another word of prayer. Father, this morning, as we read your word, we really need your spirit that we're going to be talking about, the Holy Spirit, to guide our thoughts. I just pray that the words spoken this morning will not be mine, but will be yours. And so I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I chose to talk about the Holy Spirit today because over the last number of years, it seems like there's been a ever-increasing kind of confusion out there that I've heard about, confusion about who and what the Holy Spirit is. And so I thought it'd be good to just take a Bible study and look at the Holy Spirit, and not just kind of as an abstract thing to look at, but really look at how does the Holy Spirit want to fit into your life and into my life. So the Bible doesn't have a lot to say about the nature, the makeup of the Holy Spirit. Doesn't have very much for us to go on in regards to the nature of the Holy Spirit. What it seems to focus on most is on the work the Holy Spirit does in our lives, in the lives of the church. And there's two questions we want to start with. First is, what is your concept of the Holy Spirit's personality? And two, what is your idea about this third person of the Godhead? Now, because the Bible doesn't talk a lot about the nature of the Holy Spirit, there have developed over time a lot of different beliefs, various beliefs in regards to the Holy Spirit. They range everything from just simply the Holy Spirit's an influence that God has over human minds or hearts, an influence. Or one belief is that it's a completely neutral entity, like a robot who executes God's will. That the Holy Spirit simply is programmed by God and executes God's will. Or simply that the Holy Spirit is God's helper. Or even more down is that he's just an inferior God that had no original life, that his life actually derives from the Father, that the Father created the Holy Spirit. And last of all, there are some that believe it's just a magical being, perhaps even part of the occult. Now, Seventh-day Adventists don't believe any of these beliefs, and we're going to show why. Because we look at this from the Bible standpoint, and what does the Bible have to say? Now, the mystery of the Godhead, we can look at it like a triangle. A triangle has three sides, but it's still one shape. One shape with three sides. And the Godhead is similar. Three sides, Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Three distinct beings, one Godhead, though. And we're going to look at the Holy Spirit. We accept the Godhead by faith, but faith that has been produced by our personal experience. Personal experience in looking at the Word of God and trusting that the Word of God is telling us what is true, and the personal experience of testing God, trying the promises and seeing that those promises are good and that they do hold out. The nature of the Holy Spirit and his work are not so much to be understood as they are to be experienced. In the Old Testament, the Father was the main figure in the Old Testament in heaven, with Jesus, the Son, being more the personal representative on earth. You know, he was the one that was the active agent at creation. He was in the pillar of cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night. He was the one that met Joshua before the battle of Jericho. So Jesus was the representative of the Father. And the Holy Spirit, while there in the Old Testament, was not as prominent as Jesus. But when Jesus, after his death and resurrection and ascension, and he goes back to heaven, and now is still a human, and so no longer can be everywhere, the Holy Spirit now, in the New Testament, in the church, time of the church, becomes more the face of the Godhead here on earth. The gentleman by the name of Tiago Denny wrote this. He said, "For the men who wrote the New Testament, and for those for whom they wrote, the Holy Spirit was not so much a doctrine as a teaching, but rather an experience." And the slogan was, not to believe in the Holy Spirit, but rather receive the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit was more than just a teaching. It was a reality to be received. And in The Desire of Ages, page 669, Ellen White writes this: "The Holy Spirit is Christ's representative, but divested of the personality of humanity and independent thereof. Christ took on humanity. He didn't leave that behind when he went to heaven. The Holy Spirit, though, does not have the personality of humanity. It's not cumbered with humanity. Christ could not be in every place personally. Therefore, it was for their interest that he should go to the Father and send the Spirit to be his successor on earth. And only one person, the Holy Spirit, could substitute for another wonderful person, Jesus. And in the New Testament, the Greek for the Holy Spirit is paraclete, which literally means invited to be next to. He is the special helper that God, that Jesus wanted to send, invited to help us and summoned to stay by our side. And to me, that's a comforting thought, that he is by my side. So we're going to look at, for the rest of our study, we're going to look at two things. One, we're going to look at a number of Bible verses that help us to see the Holy Spirit is God and that the Holy Spirit is a person. Important. Two important things. That he's God and that he's a person. So the Bible gives a number of attributes to the Holy Spirit that are only appropriate to be applied to God. So, first of all, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10, Paul says this, "But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God." So the first thing we learn from this verse is that the Holy Spirit is omniscient. The Holy Spirit knows everything, knows all things, knows our thoughts, knows where we've been, far better than any GPS that we might be tracking us. The Holy Spirit knows all things, even the deep things of God, the things that aren't really for us to be understood until later. In Psalm 139, 7 through 10, David asks a couple questions. He says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you're there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me." So the Holy Spirit is omnipresent. We can go to the deepest part of the ocean and the Holy Spirit's there by your side. You can go to the highest mountain, Mount Everest, the Holy Spirit is there by your side. You can get in a spaceship and go to the moon. The Holy Spirit's there. You could have taken a ride on Voyager 1 that was shot into space in 1977 and is still traveling. It's now 13 billion miles away from planet. They sent it on its course out of the solar system. It's now outside of the solar system, 13 billion miles away. The Holy Spirit would be there by your side. You could take a spaceship traveling the speed of light, 186,000 miles per second, travel for 100,000 years, and just get outside of our galaxy. And the Holy Spirit would still be there by your side. You could travel for billions of years to the speed of light, reach the outside the known universe that we know of, it's still there, and the Holy Spirit would be there. He can be by your side. No matter where you are, no matter what's the circumstance, you are not alone. The Holy Spirit is there by your side. Peter in 1 Peter 3:18 said this, "For Christ also suffered once for our sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit." Now we know that Jesus is omnipotent. That means he has all power. He told the disciples, "I have all power has been given to me." For a being to raise another being to life that has all power, that being has to have all power too. So the Holy Spirit is also omnipotent. He also has all power in the universe. So he knows everything, is everywhere in the universe, and has all power. And then Hebrews says this. Paul in Hebrews says, how much more shall the blood of God, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. So he is eternal, ever existing, something that, you know, our minds can't wrap around, the idea of no beginning. The Godhead has no beginning. The Holy Spirit was not created by the Father. The Holy Spirit has always existed, just like the Father and the Son. And then he is also can perform miracles in mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God. So the Spirit of God has power to work miracles. And then in Acts 5, verses 3 and 4, is the story of Ananias and Sapphira. And Peter, in talking to Ananias, he says, Ananias, how is it that Satan has filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and withhold some of the proceeds from the land? Did it not belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, was it not at your disposal? How could you conceive such a deed in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. So Peter starts by saying, Ananias, you lied to the Holy Spirit. And then he ends by saying, you lied to God. So the Holy Spirit is God as well. So we learn a number of things from these verses. Holy Spirit is God. He's always existed. He's everywhere. He knows everything. He's all powerful. So, and he is right by your side. And if you want to have somebody as a bodyguard, you couldn't ask for a better bodyguard, right? So, you know, the Godhead really is composed of three equal, co-equal beings. The Son choosing to leave off one part of the powers of the Godhead, that of being able to be present everywhere. And he told the disciples before he was crucified, before he was going to leave, that he was going to pray the Father, and that he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. So the Holy Spirit was to be sent as a helper. So when Jesus ascended to heaven to join the Father on the throne, he sends the Holy Spirit now to be his representative, the Godhead's representative on earth in a special way. So now we've looked at the Holy Spirit as God. Now let's look at the Holy Spirit from the standpoint of him being a person. Now I find these verses very, very fascinating to look at. He's not an influence or force of God. We've looked at that. He is God himself. While the Holy Spirit does not have a body, he does have characteristics of a being that are definitely personal, personality. He has a personality. Ellen White in the book, or in the manuscript, number 66, wrote in 1899, she said, we need to realize that the Holy Spirit, who is as much a person as God, is a person. Holy Spirit is a person. Okay, well, what does that mean? What are some of the attributes of a person that are attributed to the Holy Spirit? In 1 Corinthians 2:10, we read this earlier, but again, revealed to them, the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. So he has an infinite understanding and unlimited knowledge. So whatever problem you are facing, I'm facing, we have access to someone who has infinite understanding and unlimited knowledge in regards to whatever the problem is. So as an intellect, a person's ability to understand things, that's what intellect is. The very next verse, verse 11, says, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. So the Holy Spirit executes his will by distributing the gifts of the Spirit to each one as he wills. So in other words, this verse is telling us that the Holy Spirit has a will, that he acts on his will. And in Ephesians 4, verse 30, Paul says this. He says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. So the Holy Spirit, this verse is telling us, the Holy Spirit has feelings and sensibilities. He has emotions. He feels, he thinks, he speaks, he acts. He's capable of infinite love and suffering. So when Christ suffered, the Holy Spirit was suffering with him. The Father was suffering with Jesus, capable of infinite love. And he may feel sad because of our conduct. That's what this verse, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Now all of us, at some point in our life, grieve because of a loss or whatever. We can be grieved. And the Holy Spirit can be grieved. And we don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit, so we need to think of that. John 14:26, Jesus said, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he'll teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. So he has thoughts that he wants to communicate and teach. He's capable of teaching us all things. An influence can't do that. A person can teach. He knows all things and illuminates and guides our minds to spiritual things. And then in Romans, Paul says, and this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. So he has infinite love, and he wants to love us with tenderest affections. So as a person, the Holy Spirit loves each one of us and wants to share that love, fill us with that love. He is patient. Everything in 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, talks about patience. Love is patient. He is love personified. He's patient with believers and unbelievers. Luke 24:49, the scripture reading, and now I will send the Holy Spirit just as my Father promised, but stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven. So he has power that he wants to use, and he uses it in the right way. He wants to distribute his special gifts to believers according to the needs in the church. And he has the power to transform people and consecrate them to the ministry. And when the apostles spoke by the power of the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit descended on them in power, amazing things happened on the day of Pentecost, right? They spoke in all these various tongues so that people could hear in their own language. 3,000 people added to the church. That's incredible power of witnessing. And then in John 16:6, and when he has come, he will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. So the paraclete who is standing beside, one of the things he is there to do is to convict you and me of what's wrong, what we may be doing wrong, what we need to do right, and that there is a judgment, that we need to judge between the two. He wants to help us make that choice. So he has intelligence, and he teaches, he gives orders, he guides. Well, what will the Spirit do in someone when someone asks for the Holy Spirit to not just be beside, but to come in to our lives? Now, Isaiah 11, verse 2 is really speaking about Jesus, but by extension, to all of his believers. It says, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, talking about Jesus. And there's six things here. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might or power, the Spirit of knowledge or discernment, and the fear of the Lord. So every morning when I'm talking to God in the morning, one of the things I'm asking for is the Holy Spirit to dwell in me. And I name specifically, I need the Spirit of wisdom today and understanding, to understand the situations that I'm going to be dealing with. The Spirit can help us understand what's right, what's wrong, what's the right thing to do. And the Spirit of counsel. Many times I'm asked for counsel. Well, I don't have it, but the Spirit does. The Spirit of counsel can give you the right counsel. If you don't have might or power, the Spirit of power can give you power. And the Spirit of discernment. There are many situations every day that we're running into that we need to discern. If I take this direction, where will this lead me to? So discernment. And then the fear of the Lord, that leads us back to the Spirit of wisdom, beginning of wisdom. And if you want to do a little search, word search in the Bible, put in Spirit of. And there are a number. This is Spirit of wisdom, Spirit of understanding. There's a host of things that the Spirit can give us when we ask for the Spirit to come and dwell in us. And today, this is, we are told, the greatest need of the church today is the power of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18 says, don't get drunk with wine, but rather, because that will ruin your life, instead be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's why liquor is called spirits, because people that drink alcohol are filled with a spirit, just not the Holy Spirit, right? That's why they call it spirits. So Paul is saying, be filled with the Holy Spirit, not with an unholy spirit. The Holy Spirit is the greatest and best gift one can receive. We're talking about Christmas, the time of giving. This is the greatest gift that you can ever be given, is the Holy Spirit. Ministry of Healing, page 159, as Ellen White says, there is no limit to the usefulness of one putting self aside, makes room for the working of the Holy Spirit upon his heart, and lives a life wholly consecrated to God. No limit to the usefulness. So it's my prayer that for each of us, that we would start our days by asking for the Holy Spirit. If you've not before been really asking for the Holy Spirit to come in and take control of your life each and every day, that's what we want to be praying for. And the Spirit will use you in a way that you cannot even imagine. So we're going to close with a hymn, Baptize Us Anew, hymn 258, which is talking about the Holy Spirit. And we want to be baptized each and every day new with the Holy Spirit. So hymn 258. You can stand.
Baptize us anew with power from on high, with love refresh us, dear Savior, draw nigh. We humbly beseech thee, Lord Jesus, we pray, with love and the Spirit, baptize us this day. Unworthy we cry, unholy, unclean. Oh, wash us and cleanse us from sin's guilty stain. We humbly beseech thee, Lord Jesus, we pray. With love and the Spirit, baptize us today. In mercy draw nigh. We humbly beseech thee, Lord Jesus, we pray. With love and the Spirit, baptize us today. Oh, list the glad voice from heaven it came. Thou
Father in heaven, we're thankful for the Holy Spirit that you have sent for the last 2,000 years to earth to be your representative, the paraclete that is by our side, that wants to be our, not just beside us, but actually come and dwell within us. We pray for that today, and we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.